take your Bibles with me and turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And yes, if you're following along closely, that is skipping over chapter 38. We're going to follow the story of Joseph, and since 38 doesn't deal with the story of Joseph directly, we're going to kind of skip over that. It's another one of those not very pretty chapters, chapter 38 is, but that's not why we're skipping over. We're skipping over it because it doesn't deal with Joseph, and Joseph's going to be our focus. As most of you know, my sons and I and the rest of my family at different points and times spent the last couple of days at an antique machinery show. Some of you may not find that very interesting, but we have a great deal of fun. And one of the things that's very striking is much of the equipment and the things that we were looking at and watching, and sometimes the boys even get to operate in different ways, were things that are now 70, 80 years old. And you look at those pieces of equipment that are 70 and 80 years old, and you compare it to what is new today, and there's a stark reality of how much things have changed. I mean, they barely bear any resemblance to each other in the technology and the way things work and what they can do. Going hand in hand with that, as we were sitting out there watching some of these pieces of equipment, one of my sons and my father, we were watching some things and talking about the changes that went along with it. You know, my dad was saying, well, the small little town, tiny little town I grew up in, it had three different machinery dealerships. Two of which don't even exist anymore. Like, the brands are gone. They were popular, but they're gone entirely now. You know, now, Courthouse is unique. It does actually have three major agricultural dealerships, but I think Ross County has none of the major agricultural dealerships, and Highland County has only one. So, really, it's unique because it services all those areas. Most small towns now have no agriculture dealership at all. Largely that's because, you know, 80 years ago, you had 100 farmers to farm 10,000 acres. Now you have two farmers or maybe even less to farm 10,000 acres. The world has changed. And I think about that, and that's only 70 or 80 years. When we pick up our Bibles and we read the story of Joseph, we're going back thousands of years now. Thousands of years. The technology that is antique to us today would have blown their minds. And yet, we find out that as much as things have changed, mankind is still really the same. The technology around us changes, but the root issues of man and the root needs of man and the root struggles of man are really still the same. We can turn to the story of Joseph and we can see his confrontation with temptation, and it's really not that all that different than our world today. Because the circumstances have changed, but the nature of man hasn't changed. So as we flip back to Genesis 39 and reread the story of Joseph, we're going to look today at Joseph's confrontation with temptation. And I want to make six observations about temptation here from the events of Joseph's life. And I want us to know that as much as everything has changed around us, our nature is very much just like Joseph's. And we face temptation just like Joseph. And it comes in virtually the same ways as it did for Joseph. So if you have your Bibles open there, turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to read verses 1 through 23. That's the whole chapter this morning. The Word of God says, "Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house and has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as he spoke to Joseph day after, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he left his garment in her hand, and had fled out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." Then she laid his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant who you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Before we look here, this chapter, let's bow for a moment and ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your word this morning and we look at these events in Joseph's life, I just pray that you would help us to understand something of the nature of temptation that was faced both by Joseph and will be faced by us. That in knowing the nature of this temptation, we would be prepared to resist it and stand strong against it when it comes for us. To live as you've called us to live for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this chapter and the events of Joseph's life, as I said, I want us to make a number of observations. In fact, I want us to make 6 observations this morning about temptation from what took place in Joseph's life. The first observation is this: temptation can come at any time. Temptation can come at any time. Right, we know well that temptation can often come and can often attack us when we are at our low points, when we are beat down. When Satan came to tempt Christ in the Gospels, when did he do it? He did it after Christ had fasted 40 days in the wilderness. There was a sense of weakness in the hunger and the fatigue of being out in the wilderness, of the loneliness and the isolation. It was when Christ was weighed down with those things, Satan came to get him when he was weak. And we know that there are many reasons why we can be especially susceptible to temptation when we're at low points in our life, when things have gone wrong, when things are bad. Right? We can easily be tempted toward bitterness when things are bad. Or we can be tempted towards a despair that gives up our faith when things are bad. Or we can be tempted to find comfort in the pleasures of the flesh when things are bad. right? Get fired from a job. We don't think we can pay our bills. Well, everything's miserable anyways. And the temptation just to go seek the pleasure of the flesh, what else have we got? God's failed us, right? There's a temptation in those circumstances to fall into those traps. But what we see here in the story of Joseph is that temptation can also come to us when we're on a high. Because Joseph has gone from the low of being sold as a slave by his brothers. Now, that's pretty low. We've hit bottom. But that's not when we find this temptation. We find this temptation after he's been purchased by Potiphar, and God has blessed him to such an extent that Potiphar has basically given entire control over everything he has to Joseph. It refers to Potiphar's house, and that doesn't mean that Joseph's just in charge of keeping the house clean here. The way the language is used in this time period, his house would have been his whole household, all his wealth, all his business, all that he had, whether it was livestock and everything, Joseph was in charge of. He ran the show, and Potiphar didn't worry about anything but what he was going to eat, because Joseph had it, and the more Joseph was in control, the more God blessed it, and it multiplied, and everything was going great. And Joseph goes on to say, when he's discussing the situation with Potiphar's wife, we shall say, he says that Potiphar has given me everything in the house except you. Right? If Joseph wants to take the best chariot out for a drive, he can take the best chariot out for a drive. That's the equivalent. If you wanted to take the boss's Lamborghini, he could take the boss's Lamborghini. Didn't even have to ask. It was his. Whatever you want, Joseph, we trust you. You're the man, Joseph. So he'd gone from the low of being sold, but now, yes, he's still a slave, but he's a very privileged and powerful slave. God has blessed. Things are good. Far even come true yet. Things are good. God is blessing. He's on top of the world. And it's when he is in that position, when he's on that high, that the temptation came. And I want to suggest to us that just as we can sometimes be susceptible to certain temptations when we're in the lows, we can equally be just as susceptible to certain temptations when we're on the highs. Because when we're on the highs, it's awful easy to forget that we depend upon God's grace every moment. It's awful easy to become satisfied with worldly pleasures, with cruising around in the best chariots and eating the best food and having the best of the best. And our focus gets on all those things and away from the things of God, and we become susceptible to temptation because we're resting in ourselves and those things around us, and temptation comes. The point here that I am making as we look is that temptation can come to us at any time, and we must always be prepared. You know, Jesus told his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need to take that command to heart in every circumstance, because temptation can come at any time. Secondly, temptation can be persistent. We see here the persistence of temptation in Joseph's life. If we look down there in verse 7, it says, "And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" Now, here's Potiphar's wife coming to Joseph. It doesn't tell us whether Potiphar's wife was a particularly beautiful woman or not. I'm going to assume she probably wasn't hideous. I mean, Potiphar married her, right? I'm just going to assume that. And here's Joseph. He's a man who's at an age when certain desires are usually at their strongest, and at this moment there's no godly way to fulfill those desires. They need to be resisted, and here is this woman throwing herself at him. And Joseph gives a wonderful argument for why we cannot do this. No! No! I mean, Potiphar has given me everything but you. It would be so wrong to Potiphar more. That would be sin against God for us to do this. We can't do it. Shouldn't that end the conversation? Right? Joseph resisted the temptation. Good job, Joseph. But then verse 10 says, And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he gave a good argument. Didn't convince her. She came back day after day after day. The point here is that temptation can often be persistent. Yes, we need to stand up and resist temptation, but don't think because you resist it today, it won't still be there tomorrow. And it won't be there the next day. And it won't show up the next day. Now, the point is, just as temptation is often persistent in coming to us, we need to be persistent in resisting temptation. We need to persevere in the saying of no, this is sin. We need to persevere in our resistance. There's no guarantee that if we get one moment of victory over temptation, it won't show up the next day. Temptation is often persistent. Thirdly, temptation is often unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Right? It's not just that the temptation that Joseph faced was persistent, but it's the fact that he could not avoid that source of temptation. You know, we often say things like, you should flee from temptation like Joseph. And I don't think that's really accurate of what happened. Joseph, he fled from the act of sin in the moment when there was no other choice, but he could not flee from the temptation. He was a slave. He couldn't just not show up at Potiphar's house. It's Potiphar's wife. She's going to be there. He has to show up. She keeps coming day after day. What's he going to do? Go to Potiphar and say, your wife is a loose woman here. You need to, but you don't, what is he going to do? There's nothing he can do. He's got to go day after day, and he has to face the temptation. And there she is again, throwing herself at him. And he has to say no again and again and again. Yes, brothers and sisters, if it's possible for us to remove ourselves from a source of temptation, by all means, let's remove ourselves. But we don't need to keep going back to the temptation just for the fun of it. That's not fun. We should remove ourselves. And we, as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 13, should say, and lead us not into temptation. We ought to pray not to be led into temptation. We don't want temptation. But the reality is there are times in which the source of temptation may be unavoidable. We're going to have to face it. We're going to have to be there, and the temptation is going to be there, and we're going to have to resist a temptation that cannot be avoided. One thing Joseph could do, and there may be times for us where there's nothing we can do. No, we're not slaves. We could say we can get a new job, but that's easier said than done. Maybe that's a long-term solution, but it doesn't mean we can quit our job in one day. It may take time before we can make those changes, and we may have to endure it for a period of time. If temptation moves in next door, we could move, but probably not the next day. There's going to be a period where we're going to have to endure it, and we cannot avoid it. Temptation, while it's often persistent, is also often unavoidable. The fourth thing here, and this is the good news, temptation can, in fact, be resisted. Temptation can, in fact, be resisted. Joseph was facing a strong temptation. As I've already said, I'm going to make a general assumption that Potiphar's wife was not a hideous woman. She was probably a fairly attractive woman. I'm going to make the assumption that Joseph, being the age he was, probably had pretty strong natural desires that men tend to have. And though he had no, we shall say, lawful means of gratifying those natural desires, under God's law at that moment, here was a woman begging him to satisfy those desires day after day after day. That is a real temptation. It was a temptation that we've already said was not only strong, but it was persistent and it was unavoidable. Yet Joseph resisted the temptation. When it came down to it, it says in verse 11, but one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house. Which I think the implication is there was no way for him to just get around some other people. Right? There was nowhere to go. No one else was there. She caught him by his garment. She grabs a hold of his coat. She says, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and got out of the house. When push came to shove, when there was no other choice, Joseph resisted the temptation. Brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand today is that temptation is real, it can be strong, it can be persistent, it can be unavoidable, but it can be resisted. When we give in to temptation and we sin, we often have many excuses, things, such profound excuses as, I couldn't help it, which is a lie, or it's just the way I am, which is another lie. They're just really bad excuses for not resisting the temptation. But the reality is, God has promised that we can resist temptation. Yes, he will allow us to be tempted, but he promises not to allow us to be tempted more than we can resist. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That is the promise of God. Not that you will not have to face temptation, not that it won't be strong temptation, but that when you face temptation, he will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, and he will make a way of escape for you so that you are able to endure it. So the choice is yours. God doesn't lie and God doesn't fail. It's up to us. Are we going to resist the temptation? Or are we going to give in? Now, I'll be honest, as I consider that, it seems to me that there is both a sadness that comes with it, in that it tells me that every time I've given to temptation, you know whose fault it is? It's mine. I bear the guilt of it. There's no excuse for it. I got to own it. I gave in. I didn't have to. I gave in because I wanted to sin. Something about it attracted me. It was my own heart welled up and I gave in. It's my fault. I got to bear the guilt. I got to confess that. But there's also great hope because it means the next time temptation comes, there's a way out. It can be done. God has promised. He doesn't lie. So there's hope. Right? There's a sense where I got to own the guilt of my past failing and confess it and be cleansed of it by God's grace, because I can't say it's not my fault. It is my fault. But there's hope I can have victory in the future. God has promised. Temptation can be resisted. Fifthly, resisted temptation does not always bring immediate reward. I want you to know that, because I don't want you to get discouraged when you think you've resisted temptation and you feel like no one's there applauding. Right? Then we feel like that should be what it does. I did good. I resisted temptation. why there's no reward for this? Why has things gone bad? What happened to Joseph? Joseph, here, he's being tempted by Potiphar's wife. He resists. Finally, he's in there alone. She grabs his coat and says, lie with me. And he's like, I'm just slipping out of the coat and I'm running. Great job, Joseph. You did the right thing, Joseph. But at this point, apparently Potiphar's wife has been hurt by his resistance to her. She's an offended woman. We already know her character, so it's not surprising that she decides, well, if he's not going to sleep with me, then be done with him. And so she makes up this story accusing Joseph of basically trying to abuse her sexually, tells it to the other men workers there, and then tells it to her husband when he comes. And of course, her husband is angry at this news that Joseph would take advantage of his wife, and he has him thrown in prison. That's Joseph's reward for resisting temptation. He gets to go to prison. I don't know, that might be a step below slavery. I don't know, both are pretty bad. He's certainly at least no better than he was before. He'd risen up, he'd got in now, in obeying God, in doing what's right, in resisting temptation, his reward is he gets to go to prison. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that in real life, that's sometimes what happens. Real life is not like the movies. Everything doesn't work out in 2 hours. And I'll give an example. I do not mean in any way to say these movies are bad, you shouldn't like them, you shouldn't watch them, but one movie that was very popular among Christians and Christian churches just a few years ago was one of the movies by the Kendricks brothers, Courageous. I enjoyed the movie, so again, don't take this as bad mouth in the movie, but the one that always struck me is, of course, there's the one character who gets this job, and he's presented with this temptation to fudge some numbers and basically steal, to lie and steal by one of his superiors, his boss. Just do this. And of course, he's just got this job. He needs a job. And he's thinking, well, if I don't do it, I'm going to get fired. And then my family's going to go hungry. But it's lying. It's dishonest. I can't do it. And he's in this temptation. And he does the right thing. Come to find out, it was just a test by his boss to see if he'd do the right thing. He gets promoted. And he gets all these rewards for it. My problem is, it's probably more likely in real life you get fired. The Bible doesn't promise us that doing the right thing is going to bring immediate earthly reward. It doesn't mean that the world around us is going to like it when we do the right thing. There may be even more negative consequences for resisting the temptation in some circumstances. Know it now. I'm not promising you anything else. That's the reality of the world we live in. Right? I mean, we can put ourselves in situations where doing the right thing may in fact bring negative consequences, not an immediate reward. You know, we live in a world where wrong is being glorified more and more. And those who try to stand for what is right, no matter how delicate and soft about it we try to be, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean in a loving way, it becomes unacceptable. You become intolerant. You become the problem. And thankfully, I think we are still a ways away, and I don't think we're beyond hope of seeing things reverse, but there could be a time when standing for what's right, avoiding the temptation to give in to the modern movement of whatever it is at that moment they're pushing, may bring real, honest consequences to individuals, to churches. I must know, in our mind, we may think if we stand for what's right, then if we're the only church left standing, then God's going to bless in such a way we're going to burst at the seams. Maybe not. Maybe Maybe we need to suffer the consequence. We don't know. I'm just trying to drive home the point that just as for Joseph, his resistance of temptation did not bring an immediate reward. It brought more trouble. But that's not the note we end on. There's one more point this morning. The sixth point is this. Resisted temptation does bring God's blessing. Because while the world brought its hammer down on Joseph and put him in prison, God was still there. And we read here in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it all. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Right? Joseph does what's right. And for his faithfulness, he gets falsely accused and thrown in prison. But God has not failed Joseph. We're told God is with Joseph. God is blessing Joseph. And in fact, just as they did in Potiphar's house, Joseph becomes basically the man in charge in prison. The warden gives all control to the prisoner, Joseph, and lets Joseph run the show. The warden, just as Potiphar didn't worry about what was going on in his house, the warden didn't worry about it. Joseph's got it, and everything Joseph does, God blesses. God is still with Joseph. Now, as we sit here, I doubt there's probably started really with some dreams of something that would happen. And we have to ask ourselves, we may say, look, if Joseph just had given in to temptation, he was a slave. He could have said, what choice did I have? He could have made an excuse. Could have justified it in some way. Then he would have stayed in Potiphar's house, and how great would his life have been? Maybe. Maybe he could have lived out his days driving around in Potiphar's chariot. But if he didn't obey and he didn't go to prison, he may never have found himself in Pharaoh's house, where he became the man in Pharaoh's house. The theme we have to keep in mind throughout all of this is that while it looked like obeying God brought negative consequences, it was really bringing about the fulfillment of God's promise to Joseph and the saving of his entire family, the line of the Savior who would bring redemption to all the world. So while I say that avoiding temptation does not bring immediate reward, I mean that in an earthly sense. It keeps us in the line of God's blessing, and it's where we belong, and it's the best place to be every single time. As we close today, let me just challenge us to be aware that just like Joseph, we could face temptation at any time. Very real, persistent, unavoidable temptation, but there is a way of escape. And when we resist that temptation, it may not bring an immediate, obvious, earthly reward, but it does put us in the place of God's blessing, where He wants us. And there's no better place to be. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You would just prepare our hearts for whatever temptations would be coming to us this week. All of our situations are different. Our own weaknesses are different. But yet we will all face temptations, big and small, this week. And I pray that You would give us the grace to resist those temptations, knowing that doing so keeps us in a place of your blessing, and that is the best place to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.